Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
This is your host, Chris Deacle with Alpharetta Business Radio. Welcome. We have two great guests in our studio today, both business coaches and consultants, and they're going to give you some great information you can use to improve your business, grow faster, and make more sales. We also have in studio with us one of the brain trusts behind Business Radio X, Stone Payton. How are things this morning, Stone?
I am doing well, man. You know, I spent the weekend in the hospital. I got to give a shout out to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Those folks, they're very kid-friendly, very parent-friendly. My daughter broke her leg about a week ago, had some complications. So we spent the weekend in the hospital, but everything, I think we've turned the corner. So I'm now well-rested and ready to have some fun, man.
Super. Well, let's get to our first guest. He is a coach with Brian Tracy's Focal Point Business Coaching. I've known Daryl Edwards for quite some time, and he works in the southern part of Atlanta. So welcome aboard, Daryl. You know, tell me, what is a business coach, and who do you help, and what do you do for them?
Well, good morning, Chris. It's good to be here with you this morning. Thanks for the invitation. As a business coach, mainly I work with small to mid-sized businesses to help them improve what they do. Mainly, the bottom line is to make more money. You know, so we work on different systems to improve what they do.
Now, what's the biggest challenge in getting a client?
Getting a client sometimes is trying to get them to understand the need behind the business coach and the purpose of getting some additional support. I usually use an analogy of athletes that use coaches, like a Tiger Woods, for example, one of the greatest golfers in the world, uses a coach. Most baseball players, batters, and that sort of thing use coaches to improve what they do. They may be the best at what they are in the world, but they use a coach to help them refine what they do, to help them stand back a little bit, to see from an objective perspective and help them improve what they do.
Now, that sounds like something that everybody would be interested in. What do you advise startup businesses? Do you recommend a coach for them? I mean, how can you help a startup?
Well, actually, I worked with a startup business a couple of years ago that he was mainly looking for someone to help them hold himself accountable. And that's really what we do as an accountability coach, help them understand how they can meet their objectives in a timely manner. This particular individual was looking for someone. He wanted to get this business up and off the ground within a 3-month period of time, and hired me to help hold him to the objective that we laid out at the very beginning.
Since business coaching is not something that usually rolls off the tongue of the small businessman, give people an idea of what kind of things you cover and how this process actually works. What kind of time frame is involved?
Well, the time frame is usually from 3 to 6 months, even over, even to a year. A program go over, to a year or more. I know of coaches that work with business owners for many years at a time, because as their business grows, they add more people, they add more processes, and they use a coach to help them along with that growth. Usually when I start off with a client, we focus on two particular areas. We do a DISC profile on them to understand exactly how they behave. And then secondly, I usually do a time management piece with them as well to help them manage their time better. That's one of the biggest things that we find with business owners, is that they're always in a time crunch. So how do they manage their time to reduce some of their frustration and stress that they have in their everyday business?
So how do you know if you really need a coach, or when it's time to engage a coach as a business person? Are there some flags that get raised, or some criteria that you meet, and then now it's time?
Well, that's a good question, Stone.
That was a fantastic question.
If you say so yourself.
Did we mention Stone is known for modesty?
That's an excellent question. It all depends. Business owners come to us in a different, at a different point. Some may have already been successful in their business, and maybe their business has stopped growing. And they need some support to figure out why. How do they need to get that growing again? They may be at a point where they're growing too, and they're adding more people. And it's becoming to a point where they can't manage it as well as they had before. I've worked with people who have never even hired anyone before, and they get to a point where they hire someone. How do they go about selecting criteria to bring people on board and manage that process as well? So there's different criteria for different business coaches, or different clients, I should say.
What is the biggest success story you've had as a coach?
Well, I work with a young lady who actually she owned a cleaning business, and she was she started the business and she really didn't like sales at all. And I said, well, how can you get into a business and you're your biggest advocate and you really can't, you know, you don't like sales? But that was her profile. She didn't like sales. She had a negative opinion of salespeople. But we actually did a disc profile on her, and she was able to understand from her profile how she can put a sales hat on for a period of time and be successful in bringing in new clients. And she was able to grow her business over a six-month period of time and actually doubled what she was doing before because she was able to understand how to sell in her own profile.
So. Now, do you find that certain DISC profiles really lend themselves to being successful business people, or can you really make it no matter how you come out, but you just need to be aware of those characteristics?
You need to be aware of it. It all depends on the individual. If you have an open mind and understand exactly how you can interrelate with other people, how you can control that, whether your natural style or your natural style or your converted style, I should say, or adaptive style, how you use that to get into different situations, and how do you conquer certain situations. So it could be a challenge for S's and C's in some cases.
And exactly what is that, S and a C?
Well, the S is a steady.
Or maybe we should go through all four of them, might be helpful.
I'm sorry, yeah, that's a good point. Well, D-I-S-C is what we're talking about here. D is like a dominant behavioral style. You know, someone that's really assertive, you know, they're kind of to the point.
Like Chris, he was giving us directions. As soon as we walked in the room, he's, you sit here, you sit there, you do this, right?
Chris is a classic D. And he'll tell you that.
Right, okay, we got you pegged.
And I is, maybe you like your Stone is maybe an I, very influential, very talkative, very affable, you know, type person. S is a steady type person that if you give them a cause, you know, that's bigger than they are, they'll go for it. And then a C is a compliant, you know, behavioral style. Someone who is a little more reserved, just give me the facts, and a little more, you know, to themselves, a little more. So if you have an S and C, and running a business, it all depends what that business is. All depends on what they're actually trying to accomplish, and if they have good people around them as well. So,
yeah. How did you come to business coaching? You know, what was your background, and what led you to want to be a business coach?
Well, I kind of have a varied background, Chris. I have come from an engineering background in automotive industry, but I converted that. I actually got into sales and marketing. That was something I really enjoyed doing, and business development through the years in the corporate world, large corporations, and was able to, you know, a few years ago, I was able to get out of that and looked around at what I wanted to do for my next career, mainly. And one of the things I like doing is helping people, and given the economy being the way it is, I thought, what better way could I do to be able to apply some of the skills and talents that I had developed over the years and help small businesses improve? And so that's kind of where I came to business coaching.
Yeah, really interesting. The people you have worked with, I understand from talking to you before that you have worked with realtors, even some people from some of the big firms that have training programs. You know, how did that work out? What did you do for them?
Actually, I worked with one realtor, and he was actually a broker, who had a staff of about 20 agents that he wasn't growing at all. You know, obviously, given what happened a couple of years ago with the market, he was looking at what he needed to do to improve that. And we looked at his whole team, and we looked at those that were producing, those that weren't producing, and he put them on a timeline. You know, based on the things we talked about, put them on a timeline, and actually was able to shed some of those and brought on other people that were being laid off or had left other firms and enticed them to come into his organization. And at this point in time, he has grown quite a bit from where he was before.
So on the marketing side of this thing, are you finding yourself trying to convince someone to choose you as a coach instead of someone else as a coach, or is the whole idea of coaching, you got to get them sold on that? It just seems like a very competitive area. You're not the first coach we've had on the air.
I'm sure I'm not.
So, I mean, just I'm interested, and I'm sure our listeners are too. How do you even go to market and get on their radar?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me has been networking and getting in front of people. I do some speaking engagements from time to time in different areas, some women's groups and some of the chamber, local chamber events.
Women's groups. I bet you're a big hit with that sport.
Yeah. You're just a flatterer, man.
Although Jaron's got a tie on, so I think.
He's the biggest eye here, so.
I'm sorry, go ahead. So networking, relationship, all that's, I mean, that's the lifeblood of your business, isn't
networking
it?
Networking and certainly referrals. There's no better way for me to expand what I do is to have someone tell others that, you know, this person has helped me grow and helped me do what I do. You know, coaching, like I said, you have other coaches on the show, but it's still a concept that people don't really fully understand. You know, so for me to explain what coaching is and how it can help them and benefit them, it's always a challenge, you know. So it's a constant, you know, marketing of myself and getting in front of people and explaining that.
I'd like to revisit that. You said that it's, you know, something that you have to talk to people about, and they kind of have to grow into understanding what it can do for them. Do you find that most of the people you're talking to don't understand, you know, how well or how poorly they're actually running their companies, and why do you think that they have problems understanding that they may not be doing things the very best way they could?
Well, I think the reason the concept is so unusual for people, or sometimes you know, difficult for them to grasp, is because a lot of times we have the mentality here, I guess in the U.S., that you know, we're here to do things on our own. I don't need any help. I can do things on my own. So sometimes it's real tough to be able to bring someone on to come in to assist you. And also to acknowledge that you may need some support and need some assistance. So that's what has been a challenge in that respect.
I watched too many Superman movies as a kid or something.
Exactly right.
So tell us a little bit about how a typical engagement unfolds. And you know what, Chris, let's just get some free advice. We might as well take advantage of it, right? So Chris has the Alpharetta franchise. This is his baby. He's getting it off the ground. Mm-hmm. And so, can you just walk us through what an engagement might look like when you first meet with Chris and you're trying to help him make the most out of this opportunity, and maybe walk us through the first several months or something like that? What kinds of things would happen?
Okay. Well, one of the first things I'll do with Chris is understand exactly where he wants to go, where he's come from, where he wants to grow his business to. And he may not have an idea where that is. So we'll put some things on paper, you know, to understand, you know, exactly in 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, where do you really want, you know, this to be? And then, you know, once we do start working together, again, we'll do the disc, we'll do the time, you know, time management piece. And then we'll look at areas that he may have some challenges in. And then we'll tackle those particular areas. For instance, it may be how do you generate more revenue? How do you network? You know, all these different things. How do you market your business the way you want to? And get the exposure that you need. So we'll work on all those different things to help him expose himself a little more, you know, to his audience.
You know, one more question, Daryl. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, I have a website. It's pretty simple. Daryl Edwards. FocalPointCoaching.com. And also, email address would actually be a good way to contact him. It's DEdwards@FocalPointCoaching.com.
And how do you spell Daryl? It's a little unusual.
Well, it's not unusual.
Same way his brother does.
That's right.
Same you way remember that show?
The same thing they have on his birth certificate. I know.
No, it's DARRYL.
Great. So. Well, can you remain in the station with us for our next guest?
Absolutely.
Well, our next guest is a author who has a book on Amazon. It's a book on sales, and it's What Sales Leaders Do. Please welcome Jared Wilkerson. Jaron Wilkerson. I'll get that right in a minute.
Thank you, Chris.
Yep. Well, yeah, welcome to the show. Tell us about Level 10 Consulting, your firm, what you do, who you work with.
Well, Level 10 Consulting is a performance management firm. And what we do is we actually help close gaps in businesses. We specifically come in and look for, or they call us in, opportunities to grow their business. And so we basically connect the dots.
Where do you find the biggest gaps in what they're trying to do?
It's all over the place. The challenge becomes trying to understand, well, let's just say it this way. Businesses that are in pain, and pain means I'm not getting what I want. And then we identify what those are. We help them. Well, they already know what they are, but we help to sort that out. And then we put processes in place to help fix that.
So what compelled you to write the book? Is this part of your marketing, or is it also designed as a resource to help folks when you can't be there across the desk from them?
Great question, Stone.
That's two in a row. That's two to nothing, Chris.
That's why he's one of the owners.
Great question, Stone. The book is kind of a, if you will, it's a left hand, right hand kind of an approach to what we do in the consulting arena. The consulting arena is a much bigger piece. Sales is something that most people can relate to. We just heard our previous guest talk about a client who didn't like sales or had some issues with sales. But my view is nothing happens until something is sold. So whether you like it, whether you don't, if you want to make money, somebody's got to sell something. So the book was actually written from a number of different angles. In some of my positions, I started off in sales, and then after growing up and moving into sales management and senior level management, one of the things that I began to see was a pattern that especially in senior level management, the people who sit in front of me were there for one of two reasons. One, either because they were going to get some praise or recognition, or they were going in the other direction. And unfortunately, even the ones who were going in the other direction, they were good people. Somewhere, they had fallen off the wagon. And then when my son said to me in college that he wanted to go into sales, I thought, somebody needs to put down some basic things to help successful people succeed. So the book was actually a culmination of seeing what was happening and then putting some things in place to just be the basics. So that's why it's called What Sales Leaders Do, the 22 Habits of an Effective Salesperson.
Now, Did you find that sitting down and committing these ideas to paper, a lot of which probably just came to you instinctively, did you find that it crystallized your thinking and helped you even be a more consistent consultant when you were in the field?
Absolutely. Many of the habits, and I've had many, many people to say this to me after they've read the book, they said, I could have written that.
Right.
And my comment is, sure, you could, but you didn't. And that was just to be a little tongue-in-cheek. But I think the bottom line is, after the years and years of being in sales and then being a sales manager and then being an executive overseeing sales managers, what we begin to see and what it helped to do was to say, and maybe this is getting into the target audience, who would be best fit for this book? What's the target audience? Almost anybody. First, a person who wants to be successful in sales. These 22 habits, they're basics. Second, somebody who wants to coach people to be better in sales or learn to manage that. Or anybody who wants to know what a successful salesperson does in a basic, basic rudimentary point of view. It's really written to be simple. Not a lot of stories, not a lot of fluff. It gets right to the heart of the key things that a successful salesperson does.
Of the things that are the key, what one or two things could you give our listeners as the top one or two things about sales that you would tell them they need to be doing first?
Well, Chris, that's an excellent question. And
I got one.
But it's catching up.
But he's catching up. But I'm going to say all 22 almost are important. But if I had to boil it down to one, I would say the first one, to expect to be successful. This sounds so simple, but one of the things that I've seen in experience, and one of the things that we end up coaching about or consulting on, is that a lot of salespeople, many of them, not a lot, many of them don't necessarily expect to be successful. They hope to be. It would be nice to be. Maybe I will be. Well, it starts off with you got to expect to be successful, because if I expect to be successful, then I approach Stone from a different, my ambiance is different. My body language is different. My confidence is different. Not arrogant, but I'm confident, because I know what I'm about to do, and I want to help you buy as opposed to trying to sell you something. So my whole arena is different, as opposed to coming in sideways or looking down, hoping. And it's kind of, he's saying, well, if you don't believe in this, I don't know if I should buy it either. And it's amazing how many salespeople approach things that way. And similar to what your previous guest was saying, Daryl, sometimes we don't see that. So we do a little videotaping of situations, or we ride along, and then we show, because the movie doesn't lie. When you see how you operate, oh, I didn't know I did that. Oh, I didn't know that I shuffled and kicked the wall. Whenever.
That video, that's a very unforgiving medium, but it can be incredibly powerful, right?
It's extremely powerful, because now it's no longer what I think. It's what we see. So now we have something to work from. It's not a matter of opinion. It is what's happening. And then going back to that part about pain. If you're not making the sales you want to happen, well, obviously something is not working. Maybe it's that.
Now, do you have a sweet spot, like a certain number of people, so you're more going after sales forces than individual entrepreneurs, or have you settled into a certain tier of the market?
Stone, it's across the board. And again, we have clients who they're individuals. We have an organization right now in Virginia who bought the book, and they do one habit per week. We have an organization just right here in Atlanta, a national organization, where they have the book as required reading for all of their salespeople. I come in and do a segment at the beginning. They do training once a quarter. I come in and do about an hour overview of the key points. Then the folks buy the book, and it's required reading for them to go through it with their managers. We also have another organization where the managers, I coach the managers to know what to look for in their salespeople, and then how to coach those salespeople. Because again, one of the things we find that managers don't spend a lot of time coaching their people. I think the data shows something to the tune of about 5 minutes a week on average. Wow. If you're only spending 5 minutes a week, and that's even sometimes over the phone, how you're basically just throwing your, it's crazy, because it's like a football coach or whatever. You only spend 5 minutes on the sideline with your players, but you expect them to win. Well, that's a disconnect. That's a huge disconnect.
Well, I'll tell you, that's got to be real strong mojo working with the managers, because I imagine they can untrain them quicker than you can train them if they're not bought into this thing, right?
Well, they can untrain them. And unfortunately, Stone, we have to, and this is where the consulting side comes in, because one of the things you ask, how does the book work with the consulting side? We find that it's much easier to even talk about the book and sales, and then that helps to bubble up and refine the gaps. And sometimes the gaps are not what people want to see, because sometimes we have to say to some of the managers, you know, you've seen the enemy. It's you.
Why is that, Jared? Is that because, you know, the people that ended up in sales management were good salespeople and had no management training? Or you know, you see that a lot of times in business.
Yes. Again, it's not one answer. But what we typically do in business, unfortunately, and I was guilty of this as well, if Chris or Daryl or Stone was great at selling, we made the leap to say that because you are great at selling, now we will knight you manager. But that analogy works about as well as saying you can fix a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But now we want you to feed the community or feed the neighborhood. Well, now I'm not so sure how to do that because I was just used to making a sandwich for myself. Managers, and here's the challenge that many managers have. When you are an individual contributor as a salesperson, you do it yourself. You're your own motivator. You do your own work, research. Well, when you are now the sales manager, you are no longer doing it. You now are coaching and training your people to do it. And we try to help managers understand that. And some people are just not wired to do that. They're much better as individual contributors. So now when you now step into that role as manager, it's like a coach. The coach on the football team cannot go on the field. Well, that's a penalty. You cannot. You might want to, but you can't. So
nobody told Bobby Knight this.
Right. Bobby Knight did not get that. But you cannot go on to the field. So what that means is you must train your people to be top-notch. Well, it becomes, and that goes back to that five-minute coaching I mentioned per week, everybody's different. Daryl mentioned about the different behavior styles in DISC. D-I-S-C, each one of those styles is different, and therefore you must approach them differently. So if you're the coach now, what I do for the person who's a D, my approach is different than the approach that I do for, and that's where we get into the consulting side, because there's something called situational leadership, and that's a coaching process and a model or leadership model, which is what we focus on level 10. That gets into leadership. But again, back to your point, the book helps us to flush out. And it makes it much easier than for leadership to buy leadership development, management development, because now we're helping you see where the pain is. So now we're not trying to sell you something. We're just trying to help you fix that, close that gap. So it makes it a little bit easier.
I'll bet. One question. When you're out of college, you said something early on I wanted to go back to. You said that nothing happens until something's sold. And as we know in business, you have to sell your ideas, you have to sell your solution, or maybe you're a salesperson and you're selling a product or a service to a client. Is there any practical difference between that? And how does somebody learn to be a sales? I mean, do you learn to be a salesperson? I mean, are you born that way? I mean, you have like a sales gene that they haven't discovered? Or
Wow, that's a big one. And I'm sure your listening audience, this is going to create a whole bunch of controversy about what I'm about to say. I typically get that question, Chris, when it's about leadership. Are you born a leader? We'll take it to the sales side. Are you born a salesperson? Let's just say, and I'm going to go back to one of the things that Daryl said earlier, we use DISC as well, and some other instruments. There are certain characteristics that we have as individuals that might help us to be more successful in certain areas than not. So I don't think anybody's born as a salesperson. I think we are born with traits and characteristics that can be developed. And regardless of whether you are, and let's go back to the DISC model, whether you're D and I, S or C, all four of those behavior styles, or if you get into the Myers-Briggs and all that stuff, you can train people to sell. Because selling basically is trying to help somebody buy. It's when we take it in another direction and manipulate, control, and so forth. Well, that's not selling. That is that's something else. That's why some people have an issue with selling. So the net is this. Are you born as a salesperson? I would say, and being also an adjunct professor, I'm going to be political now. Maybe. But basically...
You could get elected on that.
Right. But basically, I think everybody can sell. I think it's important that we understand, one, what selling is. Two, what are our traits as an individual that allows me to be successful in what I do as my behavioral traits? And then to realize that my approach is different from possibly three other approaches. And then how do I adjust and modify to accomplish what I'm trying to get to? If I had to ultimately get it down to the bottom line, I think the people who are more extroverted typically are more successful in sales than people who are introvert.
But what you're saying is anybody could learn to be a salesperson. I mean, is it a process?
Yes.
You know, explain that a little bit.
We talk about that in the book, in What Sales Leaders Do. It's a simple process. It is, first of all, what do you have? What are the, not only the facts, but what are the benefits of what you have? You don't sell facts. We don't go and buy a car just because of the name of the car. It's what it can do for us. So you learn that approach first. And then second, the next level is before, and then you talk about what those benefits are, and then you look for what we call a trial close. In essence, you check in to see if what I said makes sense to you. Did you understand what I said? Does it make sense what I said? And at that point, you should hopefully expect some objections. This is what a lot of salespeople don't like.
They don't want that.
They don't want that part. But that's where you know now whether we're on the same page or not. So we should almost expect or anticipate and want objections, because objections are not bad. They're just basically saying, well, I hear you, I understand, but I'm trying to figure out how this fits in with me. And until we can do that, we can't go to point number four, which is ask for the business. And unfortunately, too many salespeople want to bypass that part and just go right for the jugular. Okay, well, buy my stuff. Well, basically what we didn't do is we didn't either do one of those two steps up front. We didn't either help them understand the benefits of what you have, and we didn't check in to make sure that what I'm talking about, we're on the same page, and ask if there are any objections or any concerns you have. We need to ask, Stone, Chris, Daryl, are there any objections? Do you have any concerns about what I talk? Because that's where the rubber is going to meet the road, because that's where you find out, because it makes no sense to then say, well, okay, you got these objections or concerns, you haven't even told me, but still buy my stuff. That's not going to work. That's when you hear, well, just leave me some information or I'll come back later. Basically, what they just told you, you did not help me buy.
If you help people sell more effectively, then I would expect to see a line of people outside your door. Did you write the book as part of a process of generating customers? Or how do you find your customers?
Well, there were two questions. Did I write the book to help generate sales? No. As I said, I wrote the book primarily because there's something in me as I get older, and my wife says, I guess I'm getting softer as I get older. I like to see people succeed. And it would bother me when I would sit and see people in front of me that I knew their family, I knew their children, and it was not there for a good reason. And it was because they did not do some of the things they needed to do. And unfortunately, in leadership, and I won't get off on that too far, but we focus on that a lot, leaders don't do what they're supposed to do. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, we understand it in sports. If a person is not throwing the ball where they should be, catch the ball, we say, take them out. Well, if you got an employee who's, you either got to fix them or take them out. And we had to take some people out, unfortunately, so that's what prompted to write the book. It was just trying to say, listen, you good people, let's just make sure you're doing these basics. Now, how do we get clients, though? Many times, people will come to us, And that's good. It's through referrals. And that's letting us know that we are making things happen. We just received, got a client on Friday that came through two or three different other people and sources, and then they found us and said, can you help us get rid of some of the pain? And we said, well, it's kind of like a physician. Well, let's take out the stethoscope and find out where you're hurting, and then we will prescribe some remedy for you. And, of course, that's the contract and getting engaged.
Well, before we go too far, how can people get a copy of your book?
Chris, I'm glad you asked. Glad to help them.
Was that a very good question?
That was a very good question. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I mean, it's on the typical booksellers out there. But for the listening audience today, they get a special deal. An autographed copy, handwritten. Autographed copy for them, and here's what they would have to do just to get a copy. I'm gonna provide an address. And let me just talk about the price first, though, just so you have an idea. The book retails for $28, $28.95. In this case, this would include shipping and the price of the book for $19.95. Okay. They can just write a check, send us a check, or a money order, to our consulting firm, Level 10 Consulting, and that's Level and then 10, the number 10, 10, Level 10 Consulting, 303 Perimeter Center North, and Perimeter spelled P-E-R-I-M-E-T-E-R, Perimeter Center North, Suite 300, and that's in Atlanta, 30346.
Great. And if people want to get up with you, could we have your website and a phone number?
Website, yes. The website is level10consulting.net, level10consulting.net. And if they go there, there's information. Just click on info at level 10, and that'll get to me.
Super. Did either of you have, or Stone, did you have anything you'd want to add that you thought of that we didn't get to say before we end the show?
Well, I had an observation. It's interesting to me that both of these gentlemen put a great deal of stock into this worldview of their clients or these behavioral characteristics, and that really influences how you coach them to fully capitalize on their strengths and meet their challenges. I find that very interesting. And I think it would make for a really cool show for you guys to come back with a delighted client and get it from their perspective and maybe walk through the engagement. I mean,
yeah.
You'd be up for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you bet. That'd be a great show.
Absolutely.
I think that's great. I think, Stone, what I've come to understand is none of us are the same. And unfortunately, what happens is we will approach things one size fits all, and that's easy from management or leadership perspective, but it's not effective because Stone is different from Chris, and Chris is different from Daryl, and Jaron is different. So you can be most effective when you adjust to the individual as opposed to the global shotgun approach.
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for being on the show. It's been very informative. For our listeners, we'll be back again next week, same time. We look forward to seeing you then.